podcast?
Movie, movie podcast.
Are you getting this?
Welcome to the Movie Movie Podcast, everybody. Episode, I think 170? I'm not 100%, but sure, but I think it's about 170. I am your host, Tiggs. We've been doing this for a long time. And with me, as always, you just heard him, is Russ.
I don't have a giant zombie dong.
Whoa. He took the intro from Peter, but hey, Peter.
Yeah, it's kind of a Foster situation.
Oh, and coming in, hasn't been here in, I wasn't here the last time, but back in the saddle, Alex.
I'm a Foster failure, if you ask me.
Foster failure. Okay, so let's dive into this right now, because it has been it's been 2.5 months since the last time we podcasted, and we had like 25 movies on this list. we cut a lot of them, so, you know. If you wanted to hear about Lilo and Stitch, I'm sorry. We're not going to talk about it. But it was good.
State, you're going to have to buy a print newspaper.
Yeah.
And Tiggs, you were being generous when you said like 25, because it's actually 30.
It's 30 movies on this list? Are you kidding me? Guys, we have jobs and lives?
I think that's part of the reason why there's been a 2.5 month layover between casts.
Yeah. We could have done this.
We have the time to see movies. We just don't have the time to talk about movies.
If we had just like any of these like days, we could just been like, I'm not gonna see. I don't know. Well, would you pick one? Pick one. Ballerina.
No, Eddington, like a... because Eddington is literally half our average podcast length.
Yeah, so Eddington
all
was
all we had to do was leave Eddington halfway through, yep. And then do a cast.
Oh my god. And you know what, next time maybe we'll do that. We still want to give Ari Aster, you know, the ticket money, but obviously, you know, maybe we just leave halfway through. But let's just kick this off. We'll get into it. We got a lot of things to talk about, and we got to start with Pavements. All right, let's kick it off with Pavements. Going hard. Let's do this. Alex, did you see this?
No, I didn't.
God damn it. Pavements
is one of my favorite bands and I didn't.
It's great.
I was living
it's weird.
A range life while I was doing that.
If you
I've
like
heard
the band
a lot
Pavement,
of conflicting stories and opinions about this film,
much like the stories told in the movie Pavements. I think it's a lot of fun. I think if you like the band, you'll like the movie. If you don't know the band, you're gonna go into it and be like, I don't understand what's going on, because it's a making of plus a fake movie. It's a making of a fake movie plus parts of the fake movie plus a documentary about the band. But like, is it really at times? I don't know. I think that it actually works out really well.
How many of the band members are represented by a CGI chimpanzee?
None, sadly enough.
Well, I would be skipping this then.
Yeah, so Christine, you know,
oh shit, I didn't realize this was directed by the dude who made Her Smell from 2018.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
I love
and the new
movie.
Like the VHS documentary that's out, the VHS movie documentary that's out right now as well. Definitely check it out if you like Pavement. All right, we'll move on. All right, Final Destination Bloodlines. This movie rules. Who wants to talk about it?
Dude, it I don't like, they've made so many of these movies, but yep. Like it seems like everyone in the collective conscience only remembers the first one, the second one, and this one.
Yeah.
Like the second one with the truck driving sequence, which was one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. But
yeah. So much so that that is specifically referenced in this one and probably
because I actually read an article that's way longer than I am proud to admit. That's about how that scene was filmed, because it was entirely practical.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They really went out of their way back in the early 2000s to do shit cool. But like, Final Destination Bloodlines, it's the first one of these movies in a long time to remember that this is supposed to be fun.
Yeah,
it's so much fun from the open, from like the jump.
You're like, as soon as you see the setup, like the like overly saccharine 50s you're like, oh, this is good. And when they're getting in the elevator, you're like, every single bit about that first sequence and then fucking shout. I was like, are you like every single bit of this movie from a horror movie standpoint is actually perfect.
So this movie does the Rube Goldberg like so well. And it's because always, and spoiler, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when for most everyone in this. And
no, for everyone in this.
I know, I didn't want to say it.
And I love how the death's design in these movies, like I'd say maybe again, definitely the first two, and I've seen pretty much all of them except for maybe one. This one does a good job of like giving that death a little bit more of a personality.
Yeah.
Like it's like, I'm gonna get these motherfuckers and you want it to happen. And there's times in these movies where I'm like, I want you to live. I want you to make it. In this one, I was like, get them all.
Yeah.
And I think the fake outs are really good.
Yes. Oh, yes. Totally.
Because it's, as you said, it doesn't just build Rube Goldberg machines. It like teases other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as you said, that lends the personality that you feel death has. That's like, it's trying like eight different things and hoping one thing will actually, one domino will get knocked over.
And like, I think that's really important when your whole movie is predicated on you don't actually see the thing that is killing people. Like there is no Freddy, there's no Jason, there's no Candyman. So to have, well, they're tenants.
Well.
So to have this movie really almost like give personification to some degree to death and have death be such a bitch.
It's
such a catty, nasty bitch. I'm like, dude, this rules. It was so, so fun. I don't remember like a lot of the beats and a lot of the world building that they were doing. I mean, I know it was all good, but like this, it was just a good fucking time. Like,
yeah.
This is exactly what I want out of a 90-minute horror movie.
It's sorry. Almost like double-edged sword because I don't know. It's such a return to form for this series that it like the series that like really lost it quickly. But I don't know if you can continue it from this. Like the premise they set up that there's actually been a line of people that needed to die to finally get to you. Like your whole bloodline exists only because of one, like the saving, the quick savior moment at the beginning of the film that started every movie. Like it's never gone decades like this. So I don't know how that you continue this.
No, but we know they're gonna because this is it's the best review and the highest grossing.
Money.
It made almost $300 million on a $50 million budget. Like this was the most profitable by a mile. So they're gonna do everything they can to keep this going. And I just don't know how because they did such a good job of telling their own story. That it would be if the ending of the very end of this movie wasn't what it was.
Oh, which is so good.
I could see a sequel very easily.
Mm-hmm.
But because the end of this movie was what it was, I almost don't want another one. Like, I want this to be the rare legacy sequel that is just like, it's just like, listen, we figured it out and we're done. Mic drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the impressive part is that there are zero known cast members outside of the late Tony Todd. Like,
yes,
they build this whole thing with like complete unknowns. Maybe they're in some Netflix show I'm not aware of, but I don't think
the girl at the beginning was on one of those CW DC shows. She was in Stargirl.
Oh,
that's
pretty
much
all unknowns. And like, that's the big topic of today is what did we say? There's six legacy sequels.
Yep.
That we had from this list, we cut one of them. We're not going to talk about what was it? Karate Kid Legends, but there's all these
sequels
that don't feel that don't make me feel like, oh man, I missed this.
Yeah,
so much like this one.
So I guess I don't want to do Tiggs's job for him, so I'm not going to. But it feels like...
Appreciate that.
The conversation should shift to the other horror film that is a legacy sequel, because it seems like it was bad, but I didn't see it.
So I Know What You Did Last Summer is what you're referring to.
I was literally looking at the list. I was like, there's a legacy horror sequel on this list.
It's just also very funny that like a movie that kind of tried to copy Scream's formula also copies Scream formula and doing a legacy sequel that does not change the title.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying. Right. Yeah.
This movie sucks.
Really?
It sucks so hard. And
is it worse than I Still Know What You Did Last Summer?
It's no. Close.
No. That one, okay. I think at least killed more people.
This one did have a couple of deaths, but it does the one of my least favorite current trends in movies is has a character who is a podcaster. So that really annoys me. I think the only thing that works about this movie is some of the killer reveal is kind of brave and interesting.
Sure. I agree with
but that. It's also kind of the only way that it would have worked in the first place. Like, otherwise, this whole plot would kind of be stupid and not really make sense.
Interesting. Okay.
After again, as a quick tease, please reach out and let me know if you want to know what the hell is going on in this movie. But
I think I know what you mean.
Last summer. I might just
exactly. Watch it.
You think I know what I meant last summer?
Okay, man, you got there before I did, but yeah, perfect. Well done.
No problem.
It's just like. It sucks when there's a movie that doesn't have any likable characters, that doesn't have any fun deaths, that doesn't have like there's nowhere really it's the only thing I think it's got to hang its hat on is bringing back a couple of the original folks.
But none of them like do anything anymore anyway. So that probably feels weird too. Like, what's his face stopped acting like 10 years
Freddie
ago
Prince.
Besides doing voice stuff.
Yeah.
And WWE and like
Jennifer Love Hewitt's in like the ghost, one of those like
she might There's be more. On a 911 show.
Oh yeah, she was on 911.
And
yeah.
Then Sarah Michelle
she
Gellar
took over for Mrs. Coach.
Well, that's a spoiler.
Yeah, Sarah Michelle Gellar is about to do a Buffy reboot, so she's gonna be
SMG is in this? She died in the first movie.
She's in a dream sequence.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I was wondering how.
There's another cast member in the post-credit scene.
Oh.
There's a post-credit scene?
Yes, there is. And I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Wait, so can you just tell me if it's Ryan Philippe?
No, it is not.
I'll tell you, it's Brandy, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, so from the second one? The
scene is nonsense. Yeah.
Is Muse Watson in it?
No.
No.
But, like, also, like, again, like, there's just no redeeming that. Like, it looks like someone got, like, okay, here's what we're supposed to do in a legacy sequel. And checked a bunch of boxes without, like, putting any heart into this that, like, that Final Destination Bloodlines has. And that's crazy that I'm saying that, but it's absolutely true.
Well, Final Destination Bloodlines, you can tell they love the source material.
Right, exactly.
I mean, and this is like reboot number three for this.
Yeah, because there was the TV show as well.
Yes, there was. I thought you were talking about the Scream TV show, but you're talking about that. I Know What You Did Last
Summer. There was that one too. Yeah,
I actually watched that recently. It's
how is it?
It's actually all right.
All right. I'll check it.
The biggest thing that this as kind of feels like, which is like very Hollywood now, that it kind of feels like a director or writers that want to get into the business, want to do horror, and this is their only way to get something made.
Yeah. Right, it's to pull someone from the name value.
Imagine for a second that someone said, my passion project is to reboot I Know What You Did Last Summer.
No, this is an episode of The Studio about rebooting.
Yes.
And
I need to watch that.
It's so good.
Bummer. And very, very differently from, because whatchamacallit, Bloodlines was some horror directors that we've seen in the past and have enjoyed, right?
Oh, I don't know. Who directed Bloodlines?
I got no idea.
Yeah. No, all I know is that Bloodlines rules. It's super fun. It doesn't care about like it. Bloodlines is only
Zach Lapovsky and Adam.
Oh yeah. Okay. So the directors did this movie called Freaks from a couple of years ago.
You loved that, right?
I love that movie with Emile Hirsch.
Oh,
it's pretty much an X-Men movie if they didn't have any license to any X-Men.
Yeah, I'm into it.
So like that's I guess a bunch of people trying to come back and using this a little bit. So it's like, you know, it's kind of different sides of this of the same coin, but this one felt sadder.
Okay. All right. You know, let's talk about another legacy sequel that didn't make us as sad. So what if we talk about Jurassic World Rebirth?
Okay, so here's, all right, I saw it.
Yep.
It's not, if, okay.
It's the lowest effort movie of the year.
It's
better, everyone's sleepwalking through this shit.
It is better than Dominion, and it's better than Fallen Kingdom.
Which one was Dominion and which one was Fallen Kingdom?
Doesn't matter. And it may be better than Jurassic World. But it also doesn't give a flying fuck about anything. Like,
no.
This movie, and like, I thought Gareth Evans was gonna like put some kind of message. I thought there was gonna be some kind of imprint. I was like, all right, he did Rogue One, the new Godzilla. The creator I hear is actually not bad, and it looks really
good. All right.
So I thought there was gonna be some kind of point of view.
Well, his only imprint was that he took the plot of his debut film and reused it.
Right, because like it, monsters, you mean?
Yeah, where there's monsters around the equator only, and it's a no like go zone, and then people have to go to it, which is the plot of this movie.
It's just, and like, this is the most video gamey.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 100%. Yeah.
It's like, I was laughing to myself when it's like, I need a water thingy. Then
I totally agree. I was like, there are three things that you gotta get in order to do this. I was like, I can't believe that they said that.
They didn't have a fire type. Like,
I know.
I was like, this is so unbelievably silly.
They didn't meet the Goron.
Right. Yeah, like, well, thank you. Exactly. You got my Letterboxd review. I knew you would be the only one to get my Letterboxd review.
I was like, this is so dumb. But I was like, is it going to be dumb and fun? And the answer is
kind of.
It like, teases. Kind,
yes, and like, it could have been. It's almost like, I don't know, it's just weird. We've watched so many people try to out Spielberg. And it's like, at this rate, if this was your goal for this movie, there's only one, like, I don't want to see anybody else do it besides him. And we already saw him come back to the shit and we didn't like it.
Yeah.
So just leave it alone. There's 7 movies and 6 are bad.
Are they planning on a sequel? This thing made a shit ton of money.
You don't call something Rebirth and then make $750 million to not make another one. But what the fuck would the other one be? Like,
You
got the thing you needed to get. None of these characters besides Hot Doctor Dino Man
makes
sense coming back unless him and ScarJo are a thing.
That's what I expect,
It's just so pointless.
Yeah,
and it's like there's parts of it, there's like, it feels like a roller coaster that like they reskinned into something else and like, it's just not that good.
Yeah, my only plus is that this is way more the type of film I'm interested in, more so than the Jurassic Worlds that never just let it be a movie that has dinosaurs in it.
Yes.
Just like,
it's way simpler.
But it's
almost too, like the other ones were doing too much.
Yeah.
They were going way too big and way too brainy and getting away from the fact that we really, as a society, we like one thing. And it is dinosaurs and the oil they give us. So
right, exactly. That is 100% right. There's no like clone little girl that you have to like.
And they put Mahershala and Scarlett Johansson in, and the dude who every time you see him, you know he's a bad guy from Homeland.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they got all, they put all the right people on the board. And I was like, it's David Capp. Like, he's not a bad writer.
He wrote two other good movies this year.
Right. This movie just has nothing in it. Yeah. It's like, but I'd rather it be bad and empty. I guess I'd rather be bad and empty than bad and like full of bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, so they're still doing the, like, the dinosaurs that are like genetically.
Mm-hmm. Not oh yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like mutant dinosaurs now.
Yeah.
Yeah. They go to the mutant island in this one.
Yeah.
Which is better than going to a fucking park that falls apart, in my opinion, though. So
yes.
Sure.
It makes more sense. It's more plausible. Anything,
like, redeeming to not having just like does that add anything to it? That it's like crazy mutant dinosaurs that can
it actually took away from it, in my opinion, because I like the first movies, they really like rewarded intelligence and in terms of the characters in the movie, the way it was written. Michael Crichton, I feel like he thought he was a scientist at one point in
his life. Right.
Like, and these ones are like, I don't know, your stupid little brother who like took your idea that was good and is now just like making it stupid. Or like, I don't know how you guys played with toys growing up, but I only played with X-Men toys with X-Men, Star Wars toys with Star Wars toys, Joes with G.I. Joes. I wasn't a mix and mingle guy.
Yeah, I didn't really mix and mingle that much either.
I wasn't
gonna maybe say, sometimes.
Yeah, but like, would you ever have like Duke fighting, I don't know, a Beast toy? Probably not.
No, but the Turtles could. You know what I mean? Like, if like the Ninja Turtles, I could see like not Duke, but they could be fighting the X-Men.
You know, you have your special crossover times.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
yeah.
But they're few and far between. And this movie feels like that person who like didn't know which toys went with which toys.
Yeah.
And they just made a whole movie. And it's like, no, that doesn't go together.
I also think it's like interesting that like, I don't like, none of us were around when dinosaurs were around, but we're like, no, we got to create mutant dinosaurs because we know everything that there is to know about the dinosaurs that existed. I don't know. Like, aren't these things 65 like
65 million years ago? We know everything we need to know. Let's like, fuck them up. Let's remix.
Yeah.
But that's an issue with a theme park. A theme park needs to innovate. What you don't need to innovate is that if you were on an island with carnivorous dinosaurs, it would be dangerous.
Right.
Yes.
So you don't need new dinosaurs on an island. It's just it's just dangerous. Like, it's not like, oh, you know, everyone stopped dying in that tiger cage recently because they're all bored of the tiger. Like, it's just let there be dinosaurs. That's it.
And right. Like, if Michael Crichton was still alive to still be writing,
blow a couple of rails and go and
write a book. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but totally.
He like would do the thing of saying, like, the environment and pollution and all that stuff has given way to like slight evolutions in certain phenotypes and genotypes. Like, there's no smart talk in these movies anymore.
No,
there's just one doctor. Meanwhile,
no one even pretends to be smart.
No, there's like the first movie was a doctor over here, a doctor over there, shake it here, shake
like chaos theory. This, exactly. Like, yeah,
everyone had a PhD in the movie,
yeah, the T-Rex included.
Exactly.
And now we're just getting one smart guy whose job it is to be exposition. When the first movie, every single person talking was super smart.
Yep.
Was really, really smart.
Hear so me out. The you... next one, they go to the Congo.
Oh God!
Ooh,
I'm into it already.
But
I mean, I would watch the Congo.
This was definitely the best of the most recent four movies.
Yeah, because it's not trying. It's not trying.
It's the laziest.
Definitely the laziest.
But you don't need to do that much. As I keep like railing, like just. Go to a place that has dinosaurs.
Like, I don't hate Jurassic Park 3. And the reason I don't hate it is because they went to the island and there was dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And it was like, shit, we gotta get out of here. There wasn't this highfalutin plot. It was like, oh shit, there's a couple brats on the island. We always need a kid in these movies because they're Amblin.
God, that fucking family in those. I hate it.
Yeah, but like that one kept it simple. Like, this one was like the shittier version of Jurassic Park 3.
Why did they need the blood of the three different like land type dinosaurs?
Heart disease is a real
because these those
oh right that was Scarlett Johansson's like mother or whatever had like this
$10 million didn't do it for you. Maybe just thinking about your dead mom will help you decide.
I thought that she like the dead mom thing didn't help her decide. Then they said, how about 10 million? And she was like, cool, I'm in.
Who fucking cares? This was stupid.
We've talked way too long about Jurassic
Park. We talked a long time about that. Let's go into 28 years later to round it off.
God.
Oh, an immediately better film.
Now, this is a legacy sequel that brings back the original brains of the first film.
The first movie. And when this thing opens with the Teletubbies, I was like, what's going on right now?
I loved it. I was so in. This movie, was like,
you get unsettled immediately.
It's super enjoyable, and it is not at all what you think it's going to be.
No, not at all. This especially once you get to like the second half of it, and like those all the bones. Yeah,
and I've gone into a lot of like, I don't know, especially after Warfare comes out and Civil War, I'm like, is Alex Garland on like some, I don't know, fucked up weird war shit? Because I'm like, yeah, kind of. I thought this was gonna be way bigger and way louder.
I know,
and it's not a way to like tell a fucked up but much quieter story.
Yeah.
Granted, we have two more coming, so who knows where it's gonna go, but.
Which is like a really weird ending to this movie.
It's the weirdest fucking ending I've ever seen in my life. I was like, this was not Danny Boyle. And I said it in my letterbox. I'm like, this shit was Terry Gilliam at the end. I don't
know 100%.
What the fuck is going on.
But when you unpack it, it starts to kind of make sense and is delightful.
The blank check pod about it and like how they kind of they describe the ending and like who they're all dressed as. I was like, okay, I think I get it now. But like, I never would have understood that.
It's very British.
Yes, it is.
I'm not the biggest fan of 28 Weeks Later, but that movie has become so important to helping this one be better.
Really?
In the sense of like, we absolutely needed the movie that was, we did try to rebuild this. We did try to go back to normal.
Right.
It was an attempt. Because I don't think you can I don't think you can go from days to years.
Right, No, definitely. I guess you could try.
And months would have been a weird in between. I think
if you sleep long enough.
Because I kind of hated that we never got months. And then once I saw this, I'm like, that's the one we didn't need. Like, weeks helps us understand stuff. And I feel like they kind of did the thing that a lot of sequels do. They took some stuff that worked and they got rid of stuff that didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without actually saying that they are taking and not taking stuff. But yeah, this one, it really worked for me in a way that I did not expect it to.
I love my yellow Ralph Fiennes a great deal.
Oh, he's so good. When he finally shows up, which I was a complete surprise for me. I was like, Ralph Fiennes is here. And then he is, Bone Doctor. Oh, man.
He's great.
Yeah, brutally sad scene in like the middle of this like zombie movie that you don't expect to have like some of the heart that it really does, and like it's got like everything that you're looking kind of like hoping for. It evolves the zombies, it takes you like on a long enough journey, but like it's a small enough story and a small enough cast along with everybody to just like keep you so engaged with like the mother and her son the entire time, and like the people that they meet. There's a weird part of it that almost feels like very Civil War-ish at times, but like this movie is just like it was Danny Boyle coming back and just doing something fantastic with
us. And like I was waiting a very long time to hear like. I'm like, the original music was pretty perfect.
Oh, yeah.
When are we gonna find an opportunity to bring that back? And the way they do it towards the end, I was like, yeah, that's perfect. That, like, if this movie ended right way, now granted, with time, I've grown to appreciate the very end of this movie for
it is. In the moment, it's whiplash.
But
yeah, it is.
As I was watching it, I was like, this movie needs to end right now.
And yeah,
it doesn't.
And then there's like 7 more minutes and you're like, what the hell just happened?
I'm watching the Power Ranger Teletubby Power Tubbies. The Jimmy Savile fucking Power Tubbies. And it's just so much pop culture to absorb and understand.
Yep.
But the world pop culture would have ended.
Exactly. And it would have ended there. Like, and like that makes
it why that is what it is. And it's fucking weird, dude. And yeah. I appreciate it now, but I think this is a fantastic movie. And I think it's going to get better the more you see it. And if there's going to end up being, what, 5 of these movies?
Yeah.
This That's is going to be one of the ones that stands out because I really love 28 Days.
Yeah,
I liked 28 Weeks in that way that you wanted it
it's
to
been
be
a while.
It was.
I haven't seen it since theaters.
It's not great.
It's got a very good opening.
Oh, the opening is fantastic.
That's all I remember.
The dad is great.
Yeah. So it's because there's kind of an eye-rolly moment in this movie when like the kid's talking about all the things he doesn't understand. Like,
yeah.
Like cell phones or delivery drivers or collagen.
Yeah, I thought that was very funny.
And I think it's kind of silly and a little eye-rolly, but I love that they doubled down on that at the end. That's the whole point. As you said, the end is, no, you don't, it's not silly. It's not just that silly joke we made earlier. As you said, culture stopped for some of you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really, culture stopped in England.
Truly could have fucked them up.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Speaking.
It's weird that there's going to be 2 more.
It is only 2 more, and Danny Boyle's not doing either of them, right?
I don't believe so.
I thought he was doing the 3rd one.
Okay.
I thought Mia DaCosta was doing the 2nd one so that he could get working on that one, but I could be wrong.
Okay. And the 2nd one's already done, right?
Yeah,
like
finished.
Okay. And that's coming out in like January or February, something like that?
Very, very soon.
Yeah, that's crazy.
January is the Bone Temple.
Okay. The Bone Temple is ready. Let's talk about The Life of Chuck.
Oh, so pivoting away from the legacy sequels.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we have any other? Well, no, we're saving the gun.
I got an email from Letterboxd. Was like, hey, do you want to go to this Life of Chuck screening? And I'm like, yes, of course. I love Mike Flanagan.
Yep.
This movie won the TIFF People's Choice Award, the Toronto Film Festival.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which is really like it last year. This, which is really like kind of become like the People's Film Festival, or like the most like just film fans go to.
Okay.
If
you say so. We haven't been.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, we're not true real fans.
Exactly.
So it won that, and that award has been in the last like 15 years kind of a straight pipeline to Best Picture nominations.
Oh, really? Okay.
Maybe 1 or 2 in the last 15 years that have gotten that award and not gone on to get a Best Picture nomination. So I was hyped for this movie. And I was like, hey, Caitlin, do you want to go see Life of Chuck? And she's like, okay. She had seen the trailer. And she was like, why the fuck does Peter want to see this stupid looking movie?
Yeah.
The trailer is balls.
Yeah.
I don't watch trailers, which, thank God.
I try not to, yeah.
I watched this movie, really, really liked this movie a great deal, borderline loved this movie, watched the trailer and was like, I wouldn't have gone to see it.
I saw this trailer and I was like, this movie looks, I don't understand what's going on. This looks really dumb. And then I saw your Letterboxd review and I was like, all right, I got a free afternoon. So I'm going to go to see Life of Chuck. And I had no idea what to expect. And like from the opening, like act 3 type of like, you know, chapter 3 type of structure of it, and seeing how it begins at the ending, and just how much I was like laughing at this entire beginning that seems like weird and absurd, and it is weird and absurd, but like how funny it was and how everyone was playing it. And then jumping into like the story of this guy growing up and just like the love of like the art that he had and kind of like putting it away. I was just like on board immediately. And like in any other structure, I don't think that this would have worked.
No.
I think if you just play this thing straight, you're like, this is a good movie. You know, the kids' performances were very good. There's a lot of funny moments, but like the way that it was chopped up and teased out and everything was, it was just, it was fantastic. So like that drumming sequence in the, right in the beginning yeah. is, I was just like, well, I can't, my, I will not be able to like leave okay. to go to the bathroom.
So yeah, I'm gonna just ask you guys to probably repeat a lot of what you just said.
Because yeah, it's a Stephen King short story. Yeah, totally.
When I uh-huh. first saw this trailer, the yep. only thought I had in my head was a word we're not allowed to call things anymore. and it's a pejorative.
Seems very earnest.
I was like, this seems so blank. And then
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It still looks that way to me.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm not understanding how this isn't blank as blank.
I know.
So like, I would say like you watch it, you think that it is blank as blank, and you think that this is like some saccharine bullshit. And
really
then you go and it feels so earnest and like weird that makes it feel real because it, okay. you expect it to be
blank,
like more real worldish. And then something like the end is you're, I don't know. Yeah. It's hard to like jump into, but like there's from like the narration to the actual, like to the kid growing up to the performances to like how everyone's lives are like kind of interconnected in that way. I don't know. I maybe I need to watch it again because it was on such a high afterwards, but I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah. I don't know how you would sell this movie or cut it into a trailer. I get why right. you would want to try to front load the dancing aspect of it. Or especially why you'd want to put so much of Mark Hamill in it, even though like mm-hmm. I watched the trailer, was very confused because Mark Hamill's kind of a scary character through most of his
yes. Yep. Terrifying.
They make him seem like the most kindly gentleman in the history of the world, but in an annoying way that this movie looks dumb and I've seen it a million times. This movie, yep. as you said, the construction is so
blank.
So surprising. And I think the opening of the movie, as you said, is kind of weird, kind of fun. And one of those things, if Mike Flanagan didn't have the cachet that he had in a diehard Stephen King person, anyone would be like, well, we don't need this opening.
Right.
It doesn't do anything for the story. It doesn't it doesn't help with anything that comes later. But it's so good. By the end of it, you're like, God, what they were doing. Yeah, watch the trailer, sure, but I really suggest giving this movie a try.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
No,
all right. Go ahead. Yeah. It's really good. It's really good. Yeah. I didn't expect to watch it and like actually like just like come out of it and being like, I can't believe I like love that movie. It's kind of what I thought I would have had for Ballerina. Is that on the list? No, we crossed that off. Okay, cool. Let's talk about Materialist then.
Second half of Ballerina, good.
So many people explode in that movie.
Yeah.
Materialist.
We're split on yes. Materialist, right? Right? I love it.
And I love
guys,
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Well, I don't. It's whatever.
For me, I saw that at the Jacob Burns on a random, like, Monday or Tuesday night.
Humble brag.
Well, Jacob Burns mention is center square free space on Russ movie.
That's the get your bingo card out.
But yeah, I saw it and it was one of the rare, like I go and I see probably 5 movies a year with Lizzie and 50 movies a year by myself, and this was one that she was into.
Nice.
So I do think sometimes going to the movies with another human who likes who also likes a movie makes you like a movie a little bit more.
Yeah.
That being said,
mm-hmm.
I just feel like Celine Song is really good at making a movie that doesn't get made anymore.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And I think go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, that's really it. Like, I feel like she's just so good, even to the point where I think she just got like, she in her romantic drama lane just got poached to, I think, either write and direct My Best Friend's Wedding sequel, which is like any of these other random directors getting a Marvel movie. So this is like that equivalent. And I think she would probably crush making modern romantic movies because this one, it really worked for me. I wish it was like a touch funnier, but when it was funny, I thought it was so funny.
I think that it's well written and directed. I don't think it's very well acted.
Do you like Dakota Johnson?
I disagree with the last thing Russ said and the first thing Alex said.
Ooh.
Wait, what was the first thing that Alex
said? But the last thing Alex said too. But go on.
So you've disagreed with everything in Alex, but just the last thing with Russ.
No. Just the last thing Alex said.
Oh, okay.
For both of them.
So I think that it's not greatly. I think it's not greatly cast, maybe.
Okay, I understand that because the cast was, like, especially after sort of seeing the posters and stuff, I'm like, Dakota Johnson, Pedro Pascal, and Chris Evans, they don't seem like people who would intersect.
And I think Chris Evans does not make a schlubby Bushwick guy.
Yeah, totally agree.
Like, I think that that's not
He's
very
just
believable.
A touch too good looking.
Yes.
And he is, jaw-droppingly hot when he shows up for the first time.
Yeah.
Right.
I think he needed what's that guy? He does a lot of indie stuff. He used to be on Girls. Chris.
Girls.
What's his face? Driver? Marnie's boyfriend. He was also in fucking, it was dumb as shit. We saw it. It was a Spider-Man universe
Chris
movie.
Messina?
Christopher Abbott.
Christopher Abbott.
Okay. I feel like Chris Messina too.
I feel like Christopher Abbott.
I get that. Yeah.
He possessor. Like he's the kind of guy that would have made a little bit more sense. Because I'm like Chris, like you have to choose between two of the most jaw-droppingly, objectively handsome men on earth.
And I think that Dakota and I'll be honest with you, I think Dakota Johnson is fine. I'm not a hater, but I think that her carrying this movie, I think was tough.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You go ahead, Tix.
No, you go. You keep going.
No, I just think her delivery on some of these things, like yes, I get that she's supposed to be the materialist, but like
nailed it.
I think that there's just something like I get the point of casting her is that she is like divisive and does come off disinterested in all these things.
Yeah. Right, right.
But I just like it got to the point sometimes where I'm like, oh, if she doesn't care, why do I care?
Yeah, exactly. No, I felt the exact same way. And I also would agree that like I didn't find this movie to be very funny. I think it was like okay cast. Like I think that everything you're saying about Evans is right. I also didn't think that like Pascal was particularly like great in this either. I think it was like a good movie, but it wasn't like it didn't. Past Lives was like an earth-shattering movie. You know what I mean?
Yes, but that's why I love this as a follow-up. Past Lives is incredibly real in its emotion. And there's a lot of things unsaid that you get through like nuanced acting and incredible directing. I think this movie is, in terms of the acting and the writing, is closer to something like an early Yorgos, like A Lobster. In the sense that I think everyone is acting like an unreal person on purpose.
I don't think it's absurd. Like, I think that's the problem.
I did find it absurd.
I didn't. I thought that this was like hyper real I did not find it to be that absurd.
I was laughing from the jump. I found this movie hilarious.
I found it so funny when it wanted to be funny. And then it would cut against that and give me something not funny, like a salty situation. And that was when I was like, if this was a Past Lives-y situation, great. Now, I'm not taking anything away. I really enjoyed this movie. Yeah. I just feel like it's almost two very different movies fighting each other in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't dislike either movie. I just don't know if I love both together as much.
Yeah, Russ, I think that you kind of nailed it, because you've got like there is some absurdity to it, but then you're supposed to be dealing with like assault.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think is like, I'm sorry. It's just like,
there's that one that happens. You're just like, all right, well, this is done now. Like, it, not,
and it's not like Dakota, like,
and maybe that's the point.
Like, yeah. But it's not like she changes. Like it, the character is supposed to change at that time, but the performance doesn't change.
I don't think she does.
I don't think she does. No, I think she's still just obsessed with herself. Yeah. Like, I think like that's,
yeah,
that's why I found her performance hilarious. I thought her disinterest was like, as I said, like it's a movie that like takes subtext and everyone just says everything out loud. Everything that you would think the Dakota Johnson character in like the first opening 20 minutes of a different movie, you would understand about that character. They just have her say it constantly. I found that hilarious. I think this is where this movie kind of like splits people and in a very interesting way.
I mean, I guess she's just kind of like weaving the web, you know, between like all the different characters. Yeah, no, I get. Yeah, exactly. They're all connected. I get it. Yeah, no, yeah. I see what you're trying to say.
Amazon.
Yeah. But yeah, absolutely watching from the jump.
Yeah, I the movie's meant to be divisive, you know, like, yeah. And again, I don't think it's a bad movie. I do. There's always something that I have, like, if I don't like the characters, even if I don't like the characters, but I can still feel something for it. Like there's something, then I'm like, I can still be in, but this was one where I was like, I just don't like anyone. Like in all honesty, and that makes it difficult for me to want to keep going.
So bad.
I could see that, that tracks.
And like, that was pretty cool because I feel like cigarettes are, they're on their way back. You guys,
they're coming. They're getting cool again. They are getting cool again, yeah. With a K. All right, let's keep it going. All right, we got a couple of things that, all right, let's knock out some of the twofers right here. So Sorry Baby, what's that about?
Dude, Sorry Baby rules.
Really? Is it like the Materialists?
Well, okay, so.
Yeah,
that was.
Without, it's hard to talk about.
Yeah. Shit, really?
What it's
about. I have no idea, except I've seen the poster, and that's about it.
It's a comedy. It's a super dark comedy.
Yeah, and it's a super, like, yeah. What is the name of the filmmaker?
Eva Victor. She's like a TikTok person?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And it is, like, I was worried this was going to be too, like, Gen Z for me.
Me too.
Okay.
And actually, like, found that it was
not.
Too Gen X for you?
It was actually like I got that too. I was nervous. I was like, oh, this is gonna be very twee and like doing a lot.
I thought this was gonna be like their Garden State at first. Yes. It is
okay.
Not.
It 100% is not. It's like it's about
reading some reviews,
little
traumatic experiences.
You know,
okay.
Yeah, there's some trauma, but it's about basically about two friends that are both like, you know, intellectual types that, you know, just kind of get together in like a rural New England area. One of them is, they're both in grad school in certain scenes, and in certain scenes, one of them is a professor while the other one is not. It's really simple and it cares about the characters. And it's from considering that this was like written and directed, and it's like a first time writer director, and it's a TikTok person and somebody who's gotta be at least 10 or 15 years younger than us.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I would say add some more years if they're a TikTok person. No.
At least, okay, so 10. They're 31.
Yeah.
It's just so selfish.
Russ is out here thinking he's like 28.
I know. It's just so sure of itself and just, it's delightful. Okay. Like, I don't know what I would compare it to And it's not a movie that I think has a ton of rewatchability, but I think as a double feature with The Holdovers,
yeah,
okay, that
would be a nice pairing. So I would probably watch this one first, yeah, so that you can watch something that's got that's a little funnier, haha, and not funnier.
Okay,
with a little less sadness, even though yeah, it has a ton of New England sadness.
Yeah, a lot of New England sadness.
And John Carroll Lynch is in the movie for 5 minutes, and he's perfect.
Yes, absolutely.
And it Lucas is. Hedges is in it, and he's been gone for
Luke.
A while.
Lukey.
I'm so happy he's back.
Remember when like it was like, is it him or is it Chalamet? And then he went away for like seven Chalamet. Years, and it became yeah. Chalamet.
Yep.
Well, he's we got back. Doomed.
But I just want to say, Russ, before we move on from Sorry Baby, like, this movie is it is a rough watch sometimes, yep, and purposely so. And
okay,
it's a movie that will like make you uncomfortable, and it will do that in like every way. Like the dialogue will be very stilted and uncomfortable. The
yeah, mm-hmm,
the situations will be uncomfortable. Like like it will. In like the title comes from like the closing monologue, which is like, which is
brutal. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and but there is a very cute kitten.
Okay. Oh, I mean, yeah, God, that kitten's on the poster. So that's kind of I was yeah.
Good way to sell it.
But I think this is really well done, and I'm really looking forward to what they do next, because I think this is like, I've definitely become a kind of a get off my lawn person as I've been getting older.
Yes, yes.
And this is actually like, you're like, you saw, this is like, this is really well. This is like, I'd say I saw the TV glow.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, this like, is indie spirit movie yes, of the year.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And cool, it makes me want to buy a house so I can tell someone to get off my lawn.
All right, let's talk. How was Together?
Really fun.
I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
This is like a weirdo potential 10 spot movie for me.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
For this, yeah, for the end of the year coming up, it's and
God, I can't believe it's when, August.
I know we're at the like we're almost
we're ramping into like
the way there, dude,
real season. Yeah,
so shit, seeing Dave Franco and Alison Brie, what first off, this movie's not all the way hilarious, but once it gets funny,
yeah,
it's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really that, amazing that they find comedy in this.
Yes.
And okay,
I am so I think you could only make this shit with somebody that you're fucking married to.
Yeah,
because Not that you needed an intimacy coordinator, but this movie just requires so much of the two of them together.
Hey, that's the title.
Yeah. Also, you need two people who have great chemistry.
Yes,
right. And I think they really, really do. And I think you would probably have a hard time casting if you were looking for two people that.
Yes, and it works so well. And the movie, once it gets crazy, which my only criticism right now is I wish it got there, I don't know, 10 minutes earlier. But
yeah,
once it gets there, it's like so fucking wild.
There are a couple attempts at horror early on in the story that turns out to just be like place setting.
Okay.
That once that's once that part of it goes away, like there's a bit of Dave Franco's backstory,
mm-hmm,
that's like played for horror for a little bit, but one that goes away, and that's when it starts to get a little funny with it. So it's almost like kind of a trick that it's going to make you laugh later.
Yes.
Okay.
He's very fun. Alison Brie's great. Alison Brie says one of the meanest things I've ever heard someone say at one point, that the punchline to "I'm starting to feel like your mother."
Oh yeah, yeah.
That is so rude, but it kind of sells the fact that like he can't get away from her.
Yeah.
Later on,
it's like, it's so, it's really, really enjoyable. Like, again, I didn't give it like the highest rating, but I was like, that's because I was spending, it was making my wheels turn so much while I was watching it.
Yeah.
That I think the second time around, which thank God we're 2 months away from spooky season, because 2 months from now, I'm going to rewatch this. And I think it's going to shoot. I don't think it's going to shoot up my list, but it's going to potentially get onto my list. I loved it. I think it's really fun. Yeah. And they're just, it's a really impressive performance from the two of them.
Yeah. See it.
Okay. It just, all right. No, I want to. Yeah, no, I definitely want to. It looks weird.
It is.
Nice. All right. Speaking of weird, Naked Gun, Pete, what'd you think?
I went in trying to temper my expectations, but the reviews were so good after this weekend. I hate
that.
Because my biggest issue was I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about Liam Neeson's performance. And because Leslie Nielsen is so perfect.
Right.
Everything about what he brings to this role and this universe is almost seems tailor-made. Like,
yeah. Yeah, totally.
Can't exist. And Liam Neeson really works, I would say, 60 to 70% of the time.
Yeah.
I get bouncing out of it slightly, being like, oh, I don't think that reaction works. I think he's a little too angry through some of it. And sometimes that works for the joke and sometimes it doesn't. But it is very funny still.
It's very funny. I enjoyed it. I think a little bit more than you. But I think that, like, watching it a second time, what I think I realized, and so I saw it and then I rewatched the first, like the original Naked Gun, and I went and saw it again, and then I rewatched 2 and 3. And the thing that I think this doesn't capture is those quiet reactions when, like, it's a bunch of absurd characters doing like absurd things and then reacting normally a lot of the times, or just like even reacting like somebody just said something absurd, even though you are just as absurd, and that being a part of like the hilarity. And I don't think that like anyone in the movie ever like has those, just like looking at someone being like, what the hell did you just say? Like audience reaction moment from like the character that they play it like really well. And I think that that's the one thing that I think is missing more than anything else. I thought that like Neeson does a decent performance for the most part. Not Pamela Anderson was okay.
I liked her a great deal.
I thought Paul Hauser was great, but he doesn't get in it enough. Like, I think that they needed more of him. He, like, when he was on, I thought that he did some of those bits that I really wanted them to, like, the reality stuff better than anyone else did. And he's only in it for like 9 minutes.
Yeah. I also wish they gave CCH Pounder more jokes, because the one bit that they
give
is so funny.
Yes.
From Lonely Island that directed it, right?
Kiefer Schaefer directed it, yeah. Definitely see it. Definitely have a good time with it. It's very strange that it has the exact same villain plot as the first Kingsman movie.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I don't know why.
That's true. And it's like, it's perfectly fine. Like, and I think that like seeing it in a like the theater was everyone was like super on board. This was like my homecoming back to the Orpheum. After I had like not gone for like 2 years because of all the rats. And now I realize that, like, you know, if you stay on the top floor, the rats don't come. And so it was fun to go back and see it, and everyone was super into it. There is the one TiVo joke, which I found hilarious, and no one else ever laughed. And I was sitting next to some pretty old people. Yeah. So I don't know why I was the only one who got the TiVo joke.
A pretty long joke too.
It's a very good long joke, though. They really dive into it, like the Buffy bit and everything. I was laughing so hard. I'm just thinking about it. It's such a good joke. See it. All right. Let's. Okay. We got a couple of big ones here. So let's talk about Fantastic Four, or Fantastic Snore, as some of my people.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I think it's fine. I enjoy the movie. I do think that it's a little. too self-serious, where it doesn't need to be, and it's just like has that cadence and energy throughout it. But I did enjoy like all of it. I enjoyed the villain. I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the characters. I thought everyone did like a really good job. I thought it looked good. I like Galactus. There's very little about just like while I was watching it, anything I could really point to and be like, well, that doesn't work. So I enjoyed it.
The way I grade this movie, it's hard to grade MCU movies as movies. I almost grade them as comic books now. And I think about, this is like a new run that's about to start. And as much as I never like first issues, I think that what we're going to get, and this is like the biggest problem with MCU, is it's always the promise and not what you actually get. I think I'm more impressed with what I'm going to get than with what I got. Because I was like, wow, everyone who has made a Fantastic Four movie, and this is what, the fifth one, they're all afraid of stretching. And they're all afraid of stretching in a fun way.
Time.
And I'm like,
which is, it's crazy with Mr. You know, when one of them just stretches.
Stretching gets us the maker who stretches his fucking brain. Like, let's have fun with his power. Like, yes, his power is his brain, but his power should also inform how he uses
the stretching.
His brain should inform how he uses his actual power.
And not just make it like low rent parkour.
Yes, because he is more than that. And until one of these movies fucking commits to that, because as I was watching, spoiler alert, him get stretched out by Galactus, I was like, that's not even that much.
Did they start with the stakes too high by doing Galactus this early? Like, should they have, like I understand that Doctor Doom is now coming and that'll be next, and they didn't start with that, but like, another world-ending, world-eating thing.
So the answer is yes.
No, I mean,
I think they did a good job of the. I think this is a problem in like how they put their phases together.
Agreed.
If you wanted us to care about the Fantastic Four, we should have gotten them somewhere between Phase 4 and Phase 5.
Would have been a good time for it. Would have been a good time if they were in Phase 4.
You know, all that stuff you're showing them do, you should have, like Phase 4 should have been showing them old man stuff.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, or anybody else, or the Red Ghost stuff that got cut, it could have been that simple. And then you tease this universal threat in the second movie or something like that, somewhere in Phase 5, so that by Phase 6 you've onboarded us with Fantastic Four. I would have done Fantastic Four way earlier because they wouldn't have had as many bombs. I think this movie's probably going to tap out making $600 million, which isn't
worldwide
bad. Which I don't think is bad. But I think everyone has that $1 billion expectation. And what people forget is Marvel actually had to build to that.
Yeah.
And and now that you've cleared the decks and you're introducing new characters, you have to build to that again. Like the fact that we only get Fantastic Four now and then we're getting them by the big Avengers stuff, I'm like, that was a missed opportunity. You should have given us a fun, regular Fantastic Four adventure, kept them in that universe for two movies.
Yeah.
At least two before you're doing the whole Galactus shit.
Yeah, but this movie tries to fit in that first movie you're talking about in the first 40 minutes.
Yes, and I would have loved to see that movie.
Yeah.
And they could have done it, and it would have been awesome, and it would have been great, and it would have changed how people talk about this current phase. Or these current phase, this multiverse phase. This could have taken a lot of the sting off.
Yeah.
And
I think they'd have been
in a better space for it.
The Galactus issue is, I think, kind of trying to be makeup to be like, hey, we are not the Fox Fantastic Fours. Galactus will not be a cloud. and
thank God.
We're not the Josh Trank one in which we're not going to change everything. This is the Fantastic Four that you have some sort of working knowledge of, and Galactus is going to look like Galactus looks.
And that's great. Give them to us later. Give yeah, us well, some.
They have to give him. The problem is they have to give him to him now. Give him to us now. That's how pronouns work. I knew I hated those.
Nailed it.
Do you have to do it now? Because this clearly, this group of this family has to move universes, and you cannot do Galactus in a universe that has other superheroes in it. That has to be a story that is.
Yeah.
You can't save it for later. So it has to, you have to announce it now. I'm not saying that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But they box themselves in with both history and the future that they're looking to build.
Yes. And it just goes to show that, especially with phases that like don't really matter anymore, because no. Ironheart no. closed out phase 5, but like what? And then phase 6 starts with it. Like, this should have come way before Thunderbolts. Why are, like, way earlier? Like, we should have, it should have been the sequel to Fantastic Four, which would have been the Galactus stuff. It should have been that movie that was, by the end of it, we're now maybe potentially seeing that multiversal crossover so that when Thunderbolts comes out, you're like, oh, shit, those guys are going to be there. Like, I just don't get how they don't get how to do this stuff. I'm like, we've all been reading comics for forever, and we've seen how they can come together and do these mega huge year-long crossovers. You guys thought leaving Fantastic Four until right before all the other big stuff was the right move?
What is so next
much money on the table?
Spider-Man.
Oh, you Spider-Man
Doomsday. Okay, so like, it's not even like X-Men. Because that would also kind of work, no?
No, that's all at the end. Because I think they're going to... they're probably going to kill all the X-Men in Doomsday.
Jeez, really?
Yeah, the only X-Men still have is Kelsey Grammer at the end of Marvels.
Yeah. And then they're all back for Doomsday. Classic. So the assumption is they're probably all going to die. And then we're going to get a new universe at the end of this. But I feel like Fantastic Four, like... That should have come around the first one around Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, no, 100%.
But oh, okay.
But it feels like we're still in the Multiverse of Madness. Like that, I feel like Multiverse of Madness has set up everything that we just keep hearing for the next like 4 freaking movies. Yeah. Like that, you've done it all. Like just move on now.
Like you're in a Multiverse of Madness.
we never got out of it.
The titular line from the movie.
But all of those are. Issues that we know it was going to have, because this is the current state of, you know, superhero filmmaking. It's they're going to be that way. My biggest thing about this movie, issues that should have been solved and has nothing to do with any of that, is like, let these people like be characters or give a performance. I thought everyone was so flat, as if they didn't know who they were supposed to be or what they were doing. I thought everyone was so boring. And it's so different from, I assume we're going to pivot to talk about Superman after this.
Not anymore. We're not.
a movie like Superman that's like, is just saying, hey, we know who these people are. We're not going to spend too much time, but movie ends with you knowing all those characters very well. And I don't think you get a good read on any of these people in this movie. There's one good conversation where they bring up the fact that like, oh yes, Reed Richards did think about, because the math and the math points to give up your kid.
Yeah, right.
But that
which wasn't that in the trailer? Isn't that part in the trailer?
Oh god, that's a nightmare. I didn't know that.
I thought it was. I don't know. I feel like I've seen that already.
That's not important. Yeah. 2 minutes later, like I just think everyone was so sleepy. I don't know who
everyone was sleepy.
Storm is supposed to be.
I'm tired.
I don't know. Like Natasha Lyonne was an interesting, there was part of this just like, all right, we've got some New York characters. Obviously, they're in New York. That's, you know, as the fifth member of the Fantastic Four. But like that, it feels like I still had like a good time. Like, I don't think that it was great. I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed Thunderbolts, And what was even before? And Red Hulk or Orange Hulk, Red Hulk, that movie sucked.
Oh yeah.
Red Hulk and the Captain America.
Yeah, that was a bad movie. Like, it still felt like there was something grounding here, but I feel like even like with this, with Thunderbolt, like everything, it, in all honesty, like Multiverse of Madness, I felt like, okay, let's do this now. And everything has just been, and they haven't done anything with it. And I really felt like that was, that Raimi came back to like go crazy and like, you know, bring Ash through the fucking portal to go fight the Deadites in another time. And everyone's just like, nah, let's not worry about it. I don't know. Like that's my biggest complaint, is just that it feels like, it's odd to say that this movie with the world eating Galactus and Silver Surfer feels a little too small scale at times for what this should be at this point, but it kind of does.
Yeah.
It's just a miscalculation across the board. Should have come out way earlier.
Yeah, that's true.
We should also have gotten a Shang-Chi sequel by now, but you know.
Well, that's the real. I completely agree with you. I love Shang-Chi. All right, let's do it. Let's just fucking talk about Eddington.
Probably another tough movie to talk about in terms of like getting it. The tone is very fun.
I think it is a movie that it is just a panic attack. It is a panic attack of a movie.
It's a slightly more accessible panic attack.
Yes.
Than his last panic attack.
I still haven't seen Bo.
It's way more accessible than that. But at the same time, I think my own feelings about 2020 hurt this movie in my opinion. Like, I don't want to go back here.
Yes.
And because this movie exclusively is about going back there, that sucks. It's good. this movie is objectively good. Ari Aster hasn't really made anything that's objectively bad yet.
Right.
I'll give you Bo is Afraid. If you don't like it, I understand why.
Yeah.
This is a well-made film. It has a lot to say. I just didn't want to hear any of it.
Okay.
And that's the problem. Like, it's good. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. Like, if you like this movie, I'm like, that makes sense. It is objectively good. I just don't want to go back to the pandemic for a movie about the pandemic. I think I need something else.
It's too soon for it to be there. Like, there's part of me.
Too soon for it to just be about what that has done. I look back on like a 20, what's that? The 25th hour. That's like,
people call
that like the first post 9/11 movie, because 9/11 is mentioned briefly.
Yeah.
Yeah. They talk about it, the air quality upon. And like the post and the times. Yeah.
This movie is like, hey, remember all of it? Here, remember it right now in a slightly heightened world. And I was like, oh, I don't need 2.5 hours of this.
Is it in 2025?
The only reason this movie doesn't super work for me is because I'm just getting what I don't want anymore. I almost wish if they didn't make it so explicitly COVID, I probably would have liked it more.
Okay.
But it's good.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix is great. I fucking hated him.
He's really good. Andrew
O'Connell is fantastic. Like, Emma Stone, for the 2 seconds she's around, everyone who's great in this is good. And all the kids, I would have liked this movie better if it was maybe from their perspective.
The kids.
Because I thought all the kids in this movie were really, really fun. And that was at least a movie that I could have tolerated seeing. But this movie just went up against my unwillingness to contend with something that I don't know that we actually left.
Right. No, we haven't. And I think that's kind of the point of I completely agree with everything you just said. It made me incredibly uncomfortable in like kind of the best possible ways. it is very much like this movie about like what makes people go crazy or what made them go crazy and then stay crazy, and like what perpetuates it and like how does it continue to happen, and like there's crazy before, but then that just like how much it gets just escalated, and then like how you can you know justify the escalations, and then how you believe the just, you know, it's all of this stuff.
Yes.
And you just watch it and you're just like, I feel terrible.
Well, I think because our brains are still broken.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And I
feel like that's the point. And like I totally, and so I completely agree. I enjoyed it. I don't know if I will ever watch it again, yeah. But I enjoyed it.
And not in the same, like, I own Hereditary, and I haven't watched it since I bought it, because I'm slightly, like, afraid of
it. That
I've seen it too many times.
I've seen Midsommar a couple times. I like Beau Is Afraid. I have zero interest in ever watching Beau Is Afraid again, and I think I'm similar. Right. I don't think I buy Beau Is Afraid. I don't think I buy this and watch them again, but I do think this is better than Beau Is Afraid.
I think as a full film, this is probably like it knows what it wants to say a lot more than that. So in that respect, it's definitely a better movie. But I would probably watch Beau Is Afraid before I watch this. I don't want to go back there because I'm watching a movie that like fucked us forever and we haven't left
yet,
and we haven't gotten better and everything is worse. And yep. I'm like, oh, it reminds me of when I had to play Animal Crossing just to like get through a day. I'm good.
Was that, do you not still do that? Am I living my life wrong?
Yeah, like you're probably just doing it because you like it. I had to do it in order to not fucking walk into traffic. So
there were no cars around at that. There was
I would just find traffic. But yeah, it is objectively good. I just don't want to watch it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't think I can watch this again. All right, let's keep it going. Let's go to Superman. Let's go to Superman. This is what I've been waiting to talk about.
This movie fucking rules.
This movie is so good. I've seen this movie three times. And
it's really good.
It's better every time you see it. I saw it the first time. I was just like, holy crap, was that movie as good as I thought it was? And then I went back a second time and I thought to myself, it was even better than I thought it was the first time. But why wasn't the theater laughing at Crypto? And why is this guy cut? Why am I walking out of theater and this dude is talking about how Superman's not supposed to be funny? And I'm like, fuck this. I got to go a third time. Yeah. So I went a third time and I sat next to this grandmother and like a six-year-old little girl who really wanted to go and see Superman. And me and her, same wavelength, the entire movie, laughing at the same jokes, huge. I was like, you get this. I get this. We're in this together. This is the best movie.
I saw this with a 4, almost 5-year-old, and a 2, almost 3-year-old. And they both wore Superman capes to the theater.
Aww. Nice. Amazing.
And the 3-year-old, it was his first movie, so not a lot from him. He liked fights and stuff.
Good movie, though. Good movie.
Watching a 5-year-old see this movie and like see like superheroes really be alive and be doing cool shit. Like it was just like so cool to see a kid get this as their first superhero movie in theaters, and knowing that it's like, it's not Batman who's fucked up in the head. It's just like a good,
objectively good dude.
Who's just trying to be a good
Be kind?
It was so enjoyable. Like it was light.
Yep.
Light with weight.
Yeah.
It was heavy, but also light. It had that perfect balance that you want when you read a comic. You don't run a comic book to fuck your whole day up. But you want to
feel sometimes.
Enough. Yeah, but you want to feel enough to come back to it. And like, yeah. I feel like this was one of the best 2-hour world buildings that has been done in a long time. Like,
there are three conversations in this movie. The Lois and Clark interview.
Great.
That's fantastic. Amazing conversation.
Then the one by the window with the
with the space monster in the bed. Oh my god!
Cool. And I loved that because that was a promise of what this world is.
Yes, and then
exactly,
Lex and Superman yelling at each other
at the end. Yes, that,
I think those sequences, those conversations, are so fucking good and sell so much of this character in this world in a way that elevates this movie so far above anything else. But at the same time, as Russ was saying, for kids, I think you could cut some of those scenes out or severely shorten them, and it would still be a perfect comic book movie for kids.
Yep.
It's still less than 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like if, this if is, you don't this, do it, the thing of staying through the credits, which you don't have to do with kids.
No, you don't have to. Second credit scene, not really. I don't like, it's fine. It's not the first one where it's yourself. Just crypto. Yeah. Laying on his shoulder, I stayed every single time. I saw this thing in regular IMAX and IMAX 3D.
Crypto worked so well, it made me, I just don't understand how it worked.
Yeah.
So I feel like from the beginning, when it's got the text, and then just Superman just falls out of the sky beating the crap, right? And it's just like, oh, this is like, it's kind of dire. What's going to happen? And then Crypto runs up to him and just starts like jumping into him and trying to play with him. And I was like, if this is the tone of the movie, I'm 100% in. And that was the tone going forward. Just like how funny Crypto was, when he whistles, when Crypto saves the day multiple times, super like Tom King, Supergirl coming into the, oh my God, like everything about this. Like I was, we could keep going.
It was a perfect table setting.
Yeah.
And like it was a table setting that like did not insult your intelligence. They're just like, listen, we know what you already know. So we're gonna give you the shit you already know right up top. And then we're gonna introduce you to some other characters that you
they're characters, you know. You do know them. We don't need to tell you anything.
Like you may not know Mr. Terrific and Metamorpho, so we're gonna let you see them do cool shit.
Yeah.
Right.
And Isabella Mercy, like this movie was not afraid to be a comic book.
Dora the Explorer, everybody go see the Dora the Explorer movie. It ruled.
Whoa, I didn't realize that.
She's awesome. I think she's gonna be a big person in Hollywood.
She should have been, because fucking Dora the Explorer is so good.
And Scott and fucking my boy from Righteous Gemstones, Skylar Gisondo, is Jimmy Olsen. He's great.
He's really good in it.
I love that dude. Like when he's in something, I generally tend to just like it a little bit more.
Gideon Gemstone, right?
Yeah. Gideon. It's just really fucking good. Like they found a way to just make it good across the board. And I'm all in on this. If this is the start of the new DCU, I'm happy, because it forces Marvel to fucking step their game up.
Exactly.
Is this the best of the James Gunn-iverse?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I like it better than Suicide Squad or Thus yesterday.
I've only seen it once, or I think I only saw it once, and I kind of bounced off of it.
I like this better than Guardians.
I think it's objectively better, but there's some stuff in Guardians 3 as it relates to Rocket with the pets and the animal stuff.
Yeah, no, that's pretty heavy. Yeah, I get it. Yeah,
say top to bottom, this is better.
It's just the way that this movie sets up the universe in ways that don't feel like you're rolling your eyes, or if going back to, as you said, all of Phase 4 and 5 of Marvel, that it feels like they're begging you to watch the next thing. Like that's incredible of the Supergirl sequence of this. And that is the immediate next movie we're about to get. And it doesn't feel like they're setting up a movie.
No, it wasn't. No. And it wasn't a post-credit scene or a mid-credit scene. It was just,
it's just a payoff. It's a payoff of not even a real joke of Crypto.
It feels like
exactly
in this movie, shit is going on. When this movie ends, the world is still continuing. Yeah. Whereas in some of the Marvel stuff as of recent, it feels like when the movie is over, the world is done until we get the next thing.
Yeah.
And this movie, I feel like by the time we get Supergirl or the next movie, so much shit will have been yada yada'd.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't, no one,
we don't care.
Every, no you one reads care. Every
yeah.
comic
book. Yeah.
So I don't need to know every characters are going to be moving around and living real lives between
these
movies.
I'm excited to see stuff. I have zero questions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's great.
I think it makes great choices just all around. I think that even down to like the I was very much expecting that the video to have been doctored and for it to have not have been makes it just so much more of a powerful thing. I love that.
Unless it was, which is brainy.
Which I think that like every like all the conversations, I thought that they were all so good. I love this is definitely my favorite in like incarnation of Mr. Kent. I think that he just feels like he is a farmer living on a farm in Kansas and just like misses his son. And when he shows back up, I'm just like, yep, yeah, totally. I get it. We're on.
It's so such a great change from what's his face? Kevin Costner. That, as you said, he is just a farmer. He has zero opinion about the superhero life of his kid because he can't comprehend it at all. He is just worried about Clark.
He knows that it's Clark. You do what you got to do in your life, whatever job you choose. I don't care, danger, whatever. But like, are you okay?
Yeah.
And the when they're just sitting outside talking, and he's getting Lois's name wrong. Like it all feels like so just like I loved it. Oh my god,
I got the burrito place to went to.
Yeah, just talking about the burrito place. Remember that burrito place we went to like 5 years ago? Yeah, it's still the same, just as good as it used to be. I'm gonna see this movie at least like three more times.
Yeah,
and I love like the
for another one.
I also love like all of the outcry after it, and just like how everyone's just like, seriously, you're talking about Superman, like get over it. All right, let's move it on. Fight or flight.
Very quick.
It's
wild.
Fun. It's it's the follow up in some ways to Trap in the way, if you think about it in terms of like Josh Hartnett.
Dad. That's where he goes after he gets out of the back of the car.
Exactly. It's weird. It's in the sense of like this is a weird movie that should not exist. And I can't tell if it's like it's Smoking Aces, but on a plane.
It's Smoking Aces on a plane. No, that's pretty. Yeah.
Right? Like, is that the exact plot?
We say it again.
That's the exact plot, right? Smoking Aces?
Yeah.
I have my weird theories on this movie. I think this is...
I need to hear it.
I think that this movie is... I'm going to sound crazier than anything. So, I think the way that this movie talks about human trafficking, I think makes me think it's a secret QAnon movie. and I can't remember it at the moment.
His backstory is he was just on protection detail and beat the shit out of some congressman or rich person when they found that they were like beating sex work.
Like
And then he was kicked out of the Secret Service.
Yeah.
So like he stood up for being anti-human trafficking, and the American government said no, we're cool with this.
There's something about it, I don't know what it is, and I think that it's
interesting,
like the fact that it's chicken soup.
All of that could, if this movie was 1% serious, I would kind of be afraid,
right?
But it is
0%
serious.
It is your possessor, like the video game sequence that happens like somewhere like towards the, you know, like towards the end, just like the wild shift in tone from Hartnett, like throughout the movie, he's where like so you good. Think that he's just big and then he's just like very quiet in like the next one. He's just like, oh yeah.
It's still a shitload of fun.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. Oh, all right. Deep cover. I really like Deep Cover. I'm not gonna lie.
Deep Cover was better than expected.
I liked it. I thought it was really funny.
So this is like a movie about the concept of using improv comedians to infiltrate drug.
I know. Yeah, trust me.
I'm just trying to give like
as soon as I read the plot, I was like, I can't do it.
You can though. It's that easy.
You can. Bad. It's so you. It's yeah. It's free. You can just put it on.
But no, there is. It does but. End with Bryce Dallas Howard going yes and
yeah.
And like, there's part of me died because I was like
yeah.
I of all the things I never expected to leave this movie loving Orlando Bloom again.
I agreed.
Yeah. So good. Like, I like, where has he been and why is this the first movie that he's coming back also, in?
Like, I kind of like, this is so stupid, but I kind of wish this had like more improv people in it. I hate myself so much. There's so much self-loathing that like comes out of watching this, and watching this with someone else, you're just like embarrassed too a little bit. You're like, yeah, we do say that sometimes. It's just like this is like taking like doing a class presentation naked. That's kind of what this feels like sometimes. And I don't think that makes sense.
I don't think it makes sense here. Are we talking about Fight or Flight or take Deep Cover? I enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun, honestly. I think Orlando Bloom like really carries this thing. I thought that them being in a lot of the like the drug scenes or like the handoffs or like deals and just like making up characters on the spot and being just like I've done scenes worse than this. I get this.
It's got good lightning.
Yeah. I was totally into it.
All right.
Yeah. All right. HG2, Happy Gilmore 2. Let's do it. Round it off. What? All right. So, Alex, you said we were going to get into a fight.
I fucking hated this movie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Pete? So you're just coming out and saying it. You feel comfortable.
I did not think this was nearly as good as Hubie Halloween, but I still had a pretty fun time while still seeing all the, like, the symptoms of this stage of Adam Sandler stuff, like not working a lot of the time. There is a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, Adam Sandler is a good person.
Yes.
Yep. That's his friend's work.
So I think that counterpoint.
Is this also a QAnon movie? Secret QAnon movie?
Okay. Hear me out. Adam Covert has talked at CPAC. That is true.
Yeah, that is true.
Why was Adam Covert not in this?
I think because Alan Covert has talked at CPAC.
They're falling out. He's like out of the crew.
Wait, then why is Rob Schneider in this then?
Yeah, why is Schneider in it then? Because he totally did as well.
The fact that Rob Schneider makes a reference to another Adam, like I can't.
Yes, but he's been doing that character
forever. He did that in fucking Deuce Bigelow when he was a character that was not that. Yeah. He was still like doing a side character
go ahead.
And all he says is you can do it.
Yeah.
Like he's not.
And then
like,
he's also
Alan Covert generally like does stuff.
Yeah.
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 And he would need to be a big part of this movie, I guess.
No, I think that the fact that they have to splice in the first movie that much.
I couldn't believe how much they were doing that.
They did a lot.
I'm sorry, like we're letting that go.
Listen, again,
it's Adam Sandler.
I'm gonna go back.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler is a good person.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter what I think about this movie. It doesn't matter.
They did all that splicing in
Adam Sandler.
I like seeing Adam Sandler. And I like Happy Gilmore.
I liked Happy Gilmore, and I liked that he had kids. Do I care I think it was... that he killed his wife?
No, I'm not. That's not the part that I'm debating.
Do I care that there are so many cameos that they distract you from the point that this movie has no point?
There has to be 50 of them.
No, there's 73.
That's too much.
I loved Bad Bunny. I think he's objectively funny.
Oh,
totally.
Oh my God.
I didn't like
Bad Bunny. I liked him. I thought he was very funny.
I liked him. I liked him.
Uncle John Daly.
I liked
Uncle John Daly fucking stole this movie.
I liked Uncle John Daly. I liked
so good.
MJF.
Yeah.
Yep.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Of all the golfers, they make a reference and a much longer bit than you would expect to Scottie Scheffler's issues with the police.
Yes. This arrest. Yeah.
It is so fucking funny.
I don't understand. Yeah. So I don't know golf. So maybe that
I'm sorry. Can I pick my jaw off the floor before you continue?
I was at a sport event last night.
I also love that they turn his the first caddy that he strangles into an actual PGA golfer.
Yeah.
Though that golfer is 28 and this movie is 30 years old. So I don't understand. What are they trying to say here? He should be 50 almost.
Yeah.
The bit at the very end when he wins and everyone's celebrating, you're seeing the shots of everyone at home watching, and then it cuts to Jack Nicklaus and all the old golfers and they're all just asleep on the couch.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
This is not a good movie.
Yeah.
No one will ever convince me otherwise.
But there is a psyop going on of people saying that this is better than expected.
The first?
No, it's okay. It's I guess the only way I can say it's better than expected is by virtue of the fact that the only Netflix movie I've seen is Hubie Halloween, and I thought that was all right. And I like Murder Mystery. Any of the rest of them. So
I like both Murder Mysteries. I liked Hubie Halloween.
Is that because I refused to watch the other ones?
Yeah.
And I chose to watch this. It must be better than those.
Yeah, for me, it's better
than those.
I
agree.
The first one I watched was the
Ridiculous Six.
Ridiculous Six, which I thought was what Alex feels like about this.
I haven't seen it, Ridiculous Six, because I think that's what I heard.
Ridiculous Six and had to turn it off.
See,
I don't want to get to the point where I have to turn an Adam Sandler movie off.
Yeah. I couldn't finish Ridiculous Six, just like Alex. I probably watched 20 minutes of it. And I watched it with Zach Broussard. That's the audience.
Oh, wow.
And we were like,
the Ridiculous Seventh.
That's funnier than the movie.
No. As I said, I gave Hubie Halloween a try. I was like, man, I fucking love Hubie Halloween.
No, Hubie Halloween, give credit to. It is totally, that is better than expected.
Yeah. So I think
this was better than expected. Like, I thought that this was going to be trash. Honestly.
A lot of the issues, as I said, I would rather sit here and talk about all the jokes I found funny, but I could probably spend the exact same amount of time saying all the jokes I found just as not funny.
Yeah, totally.
Surprise appearance by Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
And Nikki Bella at one point.
Wait, yeah.
Really? I didn't remember.
Yeah, she's one of the 73 other cameos in this. Oh
my God. So many cameos in this movie.
Every walk-on character is a cameo for no reason.
Why is Kid Cudi in this movie?
Yeah.
I couldn't, when people were like, I love the, this is like, I don't, I mean, part of, I know my heart's dead, but like when I read that, like people were like, oh my God, I love Eminem is the jackass.
He didn't work for me.
That worked for me. That totally worked.
And he says Detroit. And I was like, that's
not a joke, but...
of like what I think of this movie. That it is someone running in.
This is a shitty improv jam.
Saying something random.
Here's the thing. This is a shitty improv jam, but we've all been in one of those and hate doing it.
Right.
So
much like Deep Cover, you know, this is just
kind of how I feel about this. I'm like, it's not good. But you know what's cool to see? a lot of buds having a good time.
Yeah. I thought this was fun.
It's kind of I'm having a hard time saying it's bad, even though I know it is.
Yeah.
So I mean, Buscemi.
I'm just talking about all the things I liked. I liked seeing Adam Sandler. I guess I should just watch more Adam Sandler stuff, huh?
I liked his updated Happy Place.
Yeah.
Yep. I thought that was funny. I absolutely will cop to that being funny.
I thought that the singing mime bit at the end was very funny.
Yeah. I think that's funny too.
But it's also probably about 25, 30 minutes longer than the original.
For no reason.
Yeah.
And speaking of things that are too long, shall we?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. Okay. Yeah, we're there. So did we talk about Jurassic Park Rebirth? Do you want to circle back around to that one?
An hour and a half ago.
All right. Very good. Okay. Yeah. I think that we have hit it. We've gone over our time. I guess. I don't know. Anyway, you can find us on the web, moviemoviepodcast.com. You can find Russ on all the social medias as Russ Incredible. You can find Pete as Pete Peter. Nope. 12 Angry Peters. Yeah. Something like that on Letterboxd. Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. There it is. 12 Angry Peters, 12 Angry Vankmans on Letterboxd. You can find me as Johnny Tiggs on Letterboxd and Strava. No one's following me on either of those since this podcast. That'd be probably because it goes too long. Alex, are you on Letterboxd yet?
No, but
it'd be the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
And it'll help you.
Work.
All right.
Well, let's call it there. All right. We will not let it go this long next time. And because we've gone so long, we will not be talking about the movies that are going to be coming out in the next 2 months that we will all get to see all together at some point and do another one of these at some point. So anyway, so I don't continually just make this thing go longer than it already is, you know, and just cut it off at some point and just like kill this bit of just talking so that Russ can go eat because it's already like way later than we had said that we were going to go he wanted to eat already. And we'll see y'all next time on the movie podcast.
Looking at the
just anytime we want to stop it would be great.
Looking at the release calendar, I would say after the long walks,
we're still recording. Just so we all know.
Oh, yeah.